Well, this morning I want to talk about tradition. I'm sure all of you have some family traditions that you observe and you honor. Some of them are probably maybe we wouldn't be surprised by. Some, if we walked into your house and saw the family tradition maybe at a holiday or something, we might think, what on earth is going on in this house? We all have different traditions. I remember when I first started dating Michelle, I went to her house for my first Thanksgiving, and one of the things that they do is when the family gathers around the table, and some of you may do this, it's not too unusual, that each person has to go around and say what they're thankful for. Of course, you know, I've been a new family and not really for sure what to say, or I'm kind of nervous. And sure enough, the person right before me takes the thing that I was going to be thankful for. So I've got to think of something real unique and different and that I'm thankful for. But traditions are important to our lives. There was a tradition in this one family where when one of the men would turn 16, they would cross, and this happened like for three of the men who turned 16 in the family, they would actually walk across the water on the lake, across the lake to where Grandma lived, and Grandma had a special pie for them for their 16th birthday. And little Johnny turned 16, and he got ready to do the same thing. It was a family tradition. So he walks out on the water, and he falls right into the water. And he can't make it, so he tries it again, and he can't make it. He cannot walk on the water. Finally, he gets in a boat, and he paddles across the lake to Grandma's. He says, Grandma, what happened to the family tradition? My uncle before me, and my father, and my grandfather, and as far back as we can remember, those three or four men walked across the lake on their 16th birthday. And Grandma says, well, son, are you kind of some kind of idiot? They were all born in January. The lake was frozen. You were born in August. So traditions are important to us, though. You know, over the past few hundred years, though, the word tradition has become a much maligned word in a lot of circles. People who value tradition, who value the old ways, are seen as provincial or as rustic or old-fashioned or out of touch, and sometimes even bigoted if you hold certain traditional values. It's interesting that the etymology of the word, or the origin of the word tradition, it means to hand over or to deliver. So when the same thing, the tradition and trade share the same word. So when you trade something, you hand it over, or you carry it over to them, and then in return you get something. And tradition is just that way. Our ancestors before us, they hand something down, they deliver something to us, and in return we continue the tradition by honoring our ancestors with whatever that tradition might be. And this used to be seen, tradition used to be seen as important, even essential to the health of a society and even of an entire culture, that knowledge and customs and traditions be passed down from generation to generation. But it seems as if, and we can see it all around us, it seems that there is a tragedy among us that tradition is no longer seen as valuable, that it's no longer honored. It's been wiped away in just really the last few hundred years by some very powerful economic forces, but also some very powerful ideological movements. Many things have driven tradition from us. But all of these economic powers and all of these ideological movements, and you could lump a lot of them into the same cart, all of them have led to one thing, and that is to wipe away tradition. But tradition, remember, is carrying something from the past, some great knowledge, some great wisdom, great truth from one generation to the next. And if that carrying over, or if that deliverance of tradition from one generation to the next is severed, something is lost. Something very powerful that keeps a culture healthy and a society healthy and holy is lost. And so there's a brokenness that begins to occur in our society. And our rejection of that which is traditional has been replaced with the materialistic. It's been replaced by not honoring the strong and the wise people in our tradition, but instead we sort of fall into this mass society where everybody is an instant expert. If you have a microphone in front of you and a camera, if you're on TV, then all of a sudden you're an expert. And we've had experts in these stupid sitcoms and these stupid movies that have been telling us how to act and how we should live. And they've taken us down a course that is dangerous. They've taken us down a course that is poisonous. And yet we've taken it in and we've accepted it as the gospel truth. And so we have, at the same time, seen our ancestors and our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents and the traditions of the church, we've seen them as sort of old-fashioned and out of date and even bigoted, and we said, well, we can't have that anymore. But we turn to these morons on television and the movies are saying, this is how you should live, and it's an incredibly idiotic way of living. It's very materialistic, it's very hyper-sexualized, it's very violent. And we've turned to that and we turn it on every day and we allow it into our homes and we've said, this is the way we're supposed to live, and we wonder why we have a society like we have today. When we had this beautiful, wonderful, strong tradition that told us how to act, told us how to live, told us what the truth was, that opened up the doors of the church every week, several times a week, and said, this is the centerpiece of your lives because God should be at the center of your life. And we said, no thanks, as a society and as a culture. And so we're each out there as separate pieces. We're little atoms that have no connection to one another, except maybe we might come together on Sunday morning and many times just go through the motions, not realizing that really Sunday worship, the gathering of God's people, is the centerpiece of our lives. Everything should revolve around God at the center of our lives. Everything we say, everything we think, everything we do should have God at its center. And that was always the centerpiece of tradition, that God was at the center, the family revolved around it, politics revolved around God, our relationships revolved around our understanding of God and the truth that comes from God. But somewhere along the way, we started separating all of those pieces from the center of God, and now we're just fragmented. There's no cohesion to our marriages, to our families, to our communities, and to our entire lives. And so we're all just sort of out there wandering around doing our thing, and it's just enough for the powers that be in the world to come in and say, well, I've got the answer for you. I've got material things. I've got hyper-sexualized things for you. These will make you happy. And so people pour their lives into those things. They pour their money into those things, and it brings nothing but emptiness. You got 200 channels on TV, but your life is empty. And we call that progress. See, that's the lie we've been fed, that we are, that society is progressing. Now, have there been things that have progressed? Yes. I am so glad there are antibodies out there. I am so glad that science has taken us to certain places. Been especially thankful for air conditioning over the past 3 or 4 weeks. So we've had progress with a small p. But all of those material things hide what we have lost when we gave up tradition, when we became severed from our past, when we became severed from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead of progressing, society began to decay, to degenerate even, and to become more and more decadent. And so we've had progress. He said, well, cars go faster than ever, don't they? I was talking to somebody, I don't know if it was in the church or maybe somebody at work the other day. They said, you know, I never use my heated seats in my car except when I order pizza, and I'll turn them on. I'll set my pizza there to keep it warm on the way home. Now that's progress. I haven't given God one thought in years in my life, or the importance of the transcendent and the divine, and that I am part of a purpose and a bigger reason for being here, but I can heat my pizza on my back seat on the way home. Do you see the contrast between what we call progress, but the decay of society? And there is one thing that separates a culture that values tradition versus a culture that is empty and materialistic and hypersexualized and fragmented from one another. There's one thing, it's very simple, that separates those two. And it is an awareness and a reverence for the transcendent, for the divine, for God. One sees God at the center of all that is. And one sees nothing at the center, nothing divine. God's not even in the picture. And so the defining difference between those who are people of tradition and those who are people of a materialistic, hypersexualized, violent, empty world is an awareness and a reverence for God. Let's just start there. Let's just start there because, you know, Jesus Christ being the Son of God is who we worship as Christians, but let's just have an awareness of God, first of all. Let's just bring the light of the Creator back to the center of our lives and see what that begins to do. Christ will find His way into your heart. But let's just begin with an awareness of the divine, that there is something that transcends the material. There's something that transcends the physical. And until the world discovers that, until people awaken to the fact again that there is something bigger and greater beyond us, they will be fragmented, they will be empty, and they will be lost in a materialistic, hypersexualized world that gives nothing toward making you happy, whole, and joyful in your life. But yet we so easily gave that up. It's amazing how quickly we let that go. For thousands and thousands of years, tradition was handed down of what was true, and how easily we let it go and slip from our hands and accepted this society that we have today. It's really tragic what happened in just a very brief span of time. But the threat was always there because Paul was dealing with it when he's writing to the church at Thessaloniki. He's the same thing. He's telling the same people, do not give up on the tradition. Stand firm. There will always be people who make fun of the tradition, who malign it, who say you're old-fashioned, you're out of touch. But he says, hang on to it, because he uses the word lawlessness will come about if you do not stand firm and hang on to the tradition. Well, look around today. Look at the lawlessness, not just in terms of crime, but in terms of how we treat one another. In terms of just how we act in relationships, in terms of how we understand our place in the world, as if we have no moral responsibility to anyone, least of all God. And that's what we lose when we lose tradition. And that's what we gain when we lose tradition, is lawlessness. And Paul says to 1 Timothy, be careful. Do not give up on the tradition of the gospel that you heard from me, he says. But instead, stand firm. And so the answer, you might ask the question, how do we devolve from tradition to degeneracy? How did we devolve to a society where the high points of culture are reality TV? And when that's the best thing you can find on television, your culture is suffering. How did we devolve from the majestic beauty of some of the greatest music in Western civilization? Bach, for example. Or, you know what, even some of the mountain music. To what we hear on the radio today. We devolve because we let go of transcendence. We failed to see that God was at the center and is at the center of everything. He is what holds all things together. Paul says that in Colossians. It is Christ who holds all things together. And without Christ, it all crumbles and it all falls apart. So everything that a person of tradition is and does is in an awareness that he or she lives and moves in God. Is that you? Do you live in an awareness that everything you say and do is in the presence of God? Do you live in an awareness that in your marriage, that everything that will hold that marriage together is the power of God? Do you think of that in terms of your family? Do you think of that in terms of your work? Do you think of that in terms of your community, in the institutions? That if God must be at the center, and I pray that God will be at the center, because if he's not, it will all fall apart. Well, traditionally, we did. Traditionally, we saw God at the center of all those things. Were they perfect? No, because we are fallen. But when God is at the center of them, God holds things together. When we cut him off, everything dissolves and devolves into the degenerate, decadent place that it is today. But it didn't have to be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. And the good news is that in many ways, tradition has begun to make a comeback. In the church, for example, and I'm not saying this against any particular style of worship, because I think they all have their place and time, but millennials, younger folks, are beginning to find their way back into traditional services. Because they want that tradition, they want that sense of permanence, they want that sense of order, and have a great sense of history. Because it's no fun living fragmented in life. It's no fun living broken off from everything that's important and valuable, and just being you're in your own little orbit. It gets very lonely out there, because it's a very hard and difficult world. But here's the important thing. When they come through the door and they're seeking transcendence, and they see transcendence in the history of the building, and they see it in the windows, and they hear it in the music, when they look at you and they encounter you, do they see the transcendent God in your life? Do they see the richness of the tradition and the importance of the tradition in your life? Or are you just one more fragment floating around who just happens to come here because there is a desire in your life for tradition and for the power of Christ, but you haven't given yourself fully over to the gospel yet? People will see that and they'll know it instantly. And they say, well, boy, this is a pretty place, but man, the tradition isn't here. And the tradition is nothing more than the power of the gospel. The tradition is not dead. The tradition is not buried. Paul says the tradition is alive, and carry it with you, because it's the power of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And he says, pass it down, brothers and sisters. Pass it down to the next one and the next one. Pass it down to your neighbor and to your friends. Share the tradition that there is something transcendent beyond where you are in your life today. And it's powerful, and it will connect you to your ancestors. It will connect you to your brothers and sisters as sons of, and daughters of Christ, or of God today, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is alive, and you can live and move in it and have your being in it, the book of Acts says. Without the tradition, we have nothing. So So how do we pull ourselves out of the ugliness and the emptiness and the death culture of our modern world? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about in the weeks ahead. But here's a sneak preview. First of all, we have to rediscover, in what I said today, we have to rediscover and re-enter the world of tradition. And it will require that we examine our lives and ask the question, is God truly at the center of my life? Do I live and move and have my being in God? When I think, when I speak, when I act, do I do it in an awareness of the power of God and of the tradition of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And after we acknowledge that, do we discover that there is actually a hierarchy that exists within the world? See, that's one of the degenerate notions in the world today, is that everybody's equal, everybody's the same, everybody's got it all. Well, no! There are people who have moved along further on the path of righteousness. There are people who have moved on to holiness more than the person next to you. We're all not equal in terms of where we are on the road to righteousness. Just because someone's got a camera on them or they're on TV does not make them an expert for your lives. In tradition, we understood that. We knew the people in our family who, they have the wisdom. I go to them for answers. We understand this is a hierarchy. There's people that I can go to and trust. Yes, we're all equal in God's eyes in terms of our brokenness and our need for God, but we're not all equal on our path, and that we need to identify with a tradition that is strong in the path. And that's why I said we as a church need to be strong in the path in the way of Jesus Christ. And that takes each of us doing that. The next thing we'll discover and we'll talk about in the weeks ahead is that there are standards then of excellence and virtue. That there are ways to do things and not do things. There is a way to live and not to live. That's been rejected in life. Oh, we're just all the same. Everybody will just love everybody. Everybody will be fine. No! There are standards of excellence and virtue that we must live up to and into. And that was part of the tradition. But the world has rejected that. And then we find that we have to begin to put roots down again and rebuild somewhere and not be a fragment floating around, not connected. Choose a tradition and lock into it. And we'll talk more about that. And then finally, we'll find that we have to purify ourselves from this degenerate and ugly, decadent world. It's just something we have to do. We have to, in some way, separate ourselves and purify ourselves from this world, because it has become very ugly and very violent and very full of evil. Now, Jesus says, be in the world, but not of the world. And we'll talk about that. And Jesus desires for us to find our way back to the tradition. Paul tells the church at Thessaloniki, he says, the tradition is nothing less than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, stand firm, hold on to it. Otherwise, lawlessness comes into your world. Into the very finest details of your life, there will be lawlessness and emptiness. But we return to the tradition when we return to Christ. And as we accept Christ as our Savior and as the one who will reconnect us. The word religion means to reconnect. Ligio or ligament is a connection. Re means again. So it's bringing us back together again in Jesus Christ. And the sign of that decision to rejoin to the tradition of the gospel, to the tradition of the divine, is nothing less than baptism. And guess what? We get to celebrate a baptism this morning as one realigns and reconnects themselves to the tradition of the way of Jesus Christ, to the living gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, this is something different, not in church in terms of the broader church, but in terms of the small t tradition in this church. We're going to proceed outside in a procession, and we're going to have an immersion baptism under the shelter. And I hope that you all will join in that procession to celebrate with Nadine this morning for this wonderful time. Bring your bulletins with you, because in your bulletin there is a service of baptism that you'll find inserted in there. And on the way out, we're just going to form a line. I'm going to go first with Nadine and ask Charlie to join us, and then I want John. He'll be assisting. He'll be nearby in the baptism ceremony if you'll follow, and then the choir, and then if the rest of you will follow out the procession, and if you don't mind coming up on the back end, so there will be music on the front, and you can also guide us on the back. We'll probably be a few beats off, as long as it is. But on the way out, I would like for you, and if you know the words, that's fine. If not, you just hum. If not, just give praise to God. It's on page 177, and you're welcome to bring a hymnal with you, too, if you want. We're going to sing on the way out, He is Lord. So let's stand together, and we'll begin forming the procession, and then we'll regroup outside. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.